Pinsky here with episode 46 of the TV and Less video game podcast for TVandLess.net. Today we have Stephanie Lancaster.
Hello.
And Seth Gastelum.
Hi, I'm a Mexican rogue apparently.
Si, senor.
What is that? It's not even like Looney Tunes level of a Mexican accent.
Andale, andale, si, senor. Like, what do you? I'm not very good with stereotypes. I don't really. I don't know that many. To be Asians are good at math. Like, I don't know.
Is that even true anymore? I don't even know if that's been like a stereotype lately. Like, I haven't heard that since I was a kid.
Yeah. I thought they were good in all subjects, not just math.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Guys,
we're offending Asians right now by calling them incredibly smart.
No, they're awesome.
I love all Asians.
Right? And they're awesome.
That's awesome. I like Mexicans, too, for the record.
Right? Yeah,
that's why you keep me around, even though I never write anything, right?
you've been doing quite well lately, actually. Seth wrote a great Sonic 20th anniversary piece.
Thank you.
Awesome. Good job, Seth.
Thanks.
He actually did, and you're still working on that review, I presume. That Batman and Robin one,
dude. I am, but my time has been scarce.
He's been LARPing.
I've been LARPing way too much. I was talking about this before the podcast. Not actual LARPing, but whenever we play like a fantasy themed video game, we call that LARPing because like all the characters in the game just look like they're LARPing. They're not like genuinely in a middle. They're out in their mom's backyard or something, just pretending to play their game.
This is just a cover. Seth totally puts on like a bed sheet as like a cape. Let us storm the Tower of Bones.
Dude, I did this when I was like five. I'd pretend like I was Super Mario. I'd get a pillowcase, get my Mario cape.
I did the same thing, except that it was a towel.
A towel? You can't fly with a towel, Craig. That's ridiculous.
It was longer than most pillowcases. It looked more impressive.
I guess.
You and your puny pillowcase. You're not flying with that either.
I don't know. Might have been one of those full-length body pillows. You don't know.
Yeah, I guess.
It wasn't, though. Saying you shouldn't assume things.
But plus, you're like, what, like 3'7"? I mean, a full-length body pillow is still like that big.
I'm 5'9",
all right? Wow.
I'm also the tallest person in my family at 5'9", so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. How tall is the shortest person?
They keep them in a mason jar.
I have no idea the exact height. I would say around 4'9"? I don't know.
Oh, wow.
Family of midgets.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Craig, you going to complain about work?
No.
What? Why not?
The project's winding down, so work's been actually a lot better.
Is your back better?
Yeah.
Nice.
I only complain when I have reason to complain. I don't really have a reason. Work's work. I mean, I don't go in expecting to, like, do nothing, so it's just the last 7 months have been crazy because of this project, and it made me want to kill myself several times. But it's all good now, so I'm good. What about you? Working for an insurance company, I would have been dead a long time ago.
Oh, dude. I'm dead on the inside. So I'm slowly trying to bring the place down from the inside. Just one day they'll be like, wait, you haven't actually done any work in like 5 months. And I'll be like, whoops.
I was working the other night and one of my primary applications like crashed. It's like the world's biggest piece of shit. It's such a bloated train wreck. And it's only gotten worse over the years is like the company I work for like acquires like other companies. They have to like pool in all these things under the same application. So like this gigantic memory hog. And it's terrible. And it just, one night, just crashed server-side. You couldn't access it. So I did nothing for like 6 hours. I couldn't do anything.
Dude, whenever my company goes, oh yeah, we're updating the systems, then we just go, all right, so they're going to be broken for like at least a week.
Yeah, right. I'll fire up Solitaire. We'll get this. It's fine.
Yeah. These companies, man, I don't know what they're doing.
Because they don't care. The people who make the decisions about these things don't have to use the applications or see the effect, so it doesn't matter to them. So,
but. Stephanie, complain about work.
No, I can't. I had last week off, so I can't complain about work.
What is this? No one can complain about work this episode.
I know.
This is incredible. I like
but
this.
If I'm on next week, then I definitely will complain.
We'll have
about
you on next
work.
Week. We'll need someone to complain.
Yeah.
Speaking of complaints, I have a question. I've been noticing this. How do you guys feel about the current state? I mean, we already talked about DSiWare, but how do you feel about, now that everything's merged together in 3DS, we have the 3DS eShop, and we have mm-hmm. DSiWare on there. How do you feel about the quality and the amount of content on that storefront? Because I've been noticing an incredible amount of complaints. It seems like every week, like Donkey Kong 94, fuck this, and Kirby's Dream Land, oh, I don't think so. I'm like, what are you expecting? What did you want on there? I'm really curious what you guys think about it, because I'm finding that the consensus is that like the eShop sucks, and I'm like, well, I don't know. I sort of feel like every week there's been something worth looking at.
Yeah, I think it's been steady.
I think so too, but I was just curious if you guys have any input on that.
Yeah, I think they've been putting out good games. I already own the games on their original, so I'm not, like, buying them, but I think they've been putting out good stuff for people who missed out on them originally.
Yeah, yeah. It just, I mean, do people expect, like, eight like, Game Boy games? Because I think honestly, like, the Game Boy Color, and I guess soon the Game Gear and TurboGrafx-16 libraries are more than enough to have more than enough good games to have, you know, years of steady content. You know, I don't think Nintendo can really just blow their load all up front, because then they won't have that steady
dip.
And then you'll have like weeks or even months at a time where you're like, there's nothing coming.
And that's not even their style. You know what I'm Mm-mm. saying? Like, they don't do that anyway.
As long as they don't do any bullshit weeks, like sometimes right. like you look at like WiiWare and like Virtual Console and you're like, why?
Yeah.
Why is this here?
Yeah.
But I think it's pretty good. I think it's a steady stream. I mean, really, like, how quickly do you want these games? Like, Link's Awakening is a pretty big game.
It's and pretty then, badass.
And then Donkey Kong 94 comes out, and people are like, we want more. I'm like, did you finish
those
both
are,
those games
those
already?
Like probably, yeah, those are, like, probably two of the best Game Boy games right there, like, back-to-back.
Two of the best and biggest. Like, there's a lot of content in those games. So I don't know what people were expecting. I thought it was pretty good. And if Nintendo keeps up this pace, which let's be fair, they probably won't because it's Nintendo.
Right.
But if they kind of keep up this pace, I think I'll be happy. I think I'll be pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I was just curious because I've been seeing that lately. I've been seeing people complaining a lot. Like, I complain too, but I just sort of feel like complaining is the de facto, like, response to everything.
Right.
It's all good, folks. Play some Donkey Kong 94. It's a great game. Mm-hmm. Kirby's pretty fun as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's all good.
It's really short, though.
Yeah, Kirby is
oh,
short.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you can beat it in, like, 20 minutes. But it's like, you know, I know
how
a lot of people are going to
How much are they charging for it on there?
Like $4, $3 or $4?
Mm-hmm.
I think no more than 4. It's not 5. I can tell you that. But I don't know if it's 3 or 4.
Might be worth $4.
Because I view Kirby not as a game that you play through once and then never play through again. It's the sort of game that you fire up and you play just for the sake of playing, for the joy of playing it.
I could see a lot of people who are used to like newer Kirby being disappointed. I mean, he can't even copy abilities, and it's fairly short. There's not a lot of secrets to find around the levels. I could see people being disappointed with it.
Yeah, that's fair. I can see it. I still think it's a very enjoyable little game, though. It's not. I think it's nice.
It's all right. It's all right. It's a good. The second one, Kirby's Dream Land 2, is really damn good. So I hope.
Yeah, I think that one's a lot better.
Yeah.
So I think if people are turned off by the first one, they don't skip out on the second one, because the second one's really, really
good. That's a good point. Yeah. Because, I mean, Kirby wasn't really. I'm always jealous of the fact that Sakurai invented him when he was, like, 19. I'm like, damn, I've done fucking nothing. But honestly, like, Kirby was, like, nothing at that. He just ate stuff. Like, there really wasn't a whole lot to the game, to be perfectly honest.
Mm-hmm. A gluttonous pink ball. Yeah. All right, we'll publish it, whatever.
I know, I still really enjoy the game. I think there are more secrets than you might give it credit for. I mean, remember, not thinking about it, there are a lot of secret areas in that game. Like, a lot of throwaways and stuff, yeah. A lot.
Wow, I didn't even know that. I might have to fire that up.
I shouldn't say a lot, but I mean, because there's only like four levels, but there are a number of like hidden doors and areas and stuff.
You might be right. It's been a while since I played.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think it's a charming little game. I love the music. Music's fucking fantastic. It's a good game.
It was good groundwork to build off of.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. Absolutely. All right, so news here. The U.S. Supreme Court recognizes video games as a form of expression covered under the First Amendment, free speech, which is pretty dang awesome.
Yeah, it's about time.
Yeah, yeah. And it amazes me how many people, like, misinterpret a lot of the elements of this case. You know, a lot of people are saying, like, well, it's illegal to get into an R-rated movie, and it's not. That's self-policing.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, I don't think the government should tell people, no matter. Well, it with kids, it's a gray area because they're kids. But I really don't think the government should be telling people at what age they should be doing things. I think the government should make suggestions, like, hey, MPAA, can you, like, seems like a good idea to not let kids into this movie, right? Oh, yeah, yeah, sure, yeah, no problem. Yeah, that's self-policing, and the video game industry has been self-policing as well. ESRB and the retailers have been working in conjunction, because I think most people can agree, some of these super violent games, kids shouldn't be playing them.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Some of the sexualized games, kids probably shouldn't be playing them either. So I don't think anyone, I think most people are on board with this in terms of the industry, so I think self-policing is the way to go. You're always going to get retailers that don't care, and you're always going to get maybe the ESRB. The ESRB is actually really good about rating stuff. Mm-hmm. Occasionally something like hot coffee slips to them, and everyone blames the ESRB like it's their fault, but I think generally speaking the ESRB is very good at their job. So I think this is good. Sometimes I wonder if porn should be like illegal to buy like that. I don't know, because like is that a form of expression? Like, is that?
I guess some people would say.
Some people would say. Well, because I mean, like, I don't know, because it becomes like a slippery slope argument. Because like I look at like Playboy for instance, and mm-hmm. that yes, there are naked people in Playboy. That's mm-hmm. that's what it built itself on. But there are also a lot of like articles and interviews in Playboy. Like,
I was just gonna say, are you one of the guys that actually
I read Playboy. I do read Playboy. Occasionally I do subscribe to, when they throw me like, oh god, we want you back as a subscriber, you know, $10 for a year, I'm like, okay, sure. And I actually do read Playboy. Like, I do read it. Mm-hmm. And so I look at that and I go, you know, there is some literary component to Playboy. Should we really be quashing that just because you turn a page and there are some tits?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but then if you say, well, Playboy's cool, but Hustler, back of the line, like, is that? So I don't know. It's a slippery slope. But hooray for video games. This is a good first step. And I hope that video game developers don't use this as an excuse. I hope they use it as like a challenge to actually make games that are worth being covered under free speech.
Right. Yeah.
I don't see that happening anytime soon. But anyway, Death Smiles is coming to iOS on the 7th. That's 4 days while I'm recording this. That's really cool. Death Smiles is a great game. Seth did an awesome review of it, so mm-hmm. You can search that up on the site if you want to check it out. It is going to have a lower introductory price for the first few days, so July 7th through the 10th. You can get it for $5, £3, or €4. So,
nice.
After that, it goes up to like $9, £5.49, or €7.
Is it going to be one of those universal apps where you can play it on the iPad too?
You know what? I have Dodon Patchy from Cave, and it's not universal. It blows up okay uh-huh. on the iPad. Like it's pixely, but it doesn't look terrible. So I actually do play Dodonpachi on the iPad, and it looks okay. So I think you might be okay, even if it's not universal.
Right.
How are you controlling this on the iPhone?
I don't know, because I'm curious about that, because you know you shoot in two different directions.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So I don't know. With Dodon Patch, I mean, you just swipe your finger around, and the ship just follows your finger, and it's very smooth. And it's a lot more challenging than people think. I show it to people like, oh, that looks. I even get two reactions. That looks easier. Like, holy shit, what am I looking at? But it's a bit more challenging than I think people think.
Yeah, because there's a lot of bullets to dodge in this game, and if you're fingers over your character, I don't know how well you'd be able to.
Well, on Dodonpachi, there's a sort of like bar on the bottom of the screen, and you can keep your finger down there. Like, you don't have to put your finger on top of the ship, although you can, and then that's what I did when I first started, because that helped me keep track of where my ship was. But even if you put your finger, say, like, a few centimeters below your ship, you can still swipe left and right in the ship, up and down. The ship will still follow those.
So you still have one-to-one movement, but just not directly on where your finger is.
Right, right. And you know, people will figure out what's more comfortable for them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty interested. You should get an iOS device.
Maybe. Also, my Death Smiles video review is like really popular. It's like the first video that comes up.
That happens sometimes. Some of my videos, like, I think last time I checked, my most popular video on YouTube, right, of all the videos I put up, is my review for Ghostbusters on DS. And it just so happens that sometimes when you fill a niche on YouTube, people swarm to it. It doesn't always work that way. You can put up a video that has a game that has no other videos and no one gives a fuck. And there might be a reason why, maybe a reason why there are no videos of it on YouTube. But sometimes, like, because you know, at the time, like, the media wasn't really covering Ghostbusters on DS all that much. They're, you know, hung up on the big budget versions. Mm-hmm. So I put that video up because I wanted to cover all versions of the game because I'm a Ghostbusters nerd. And that became immensely popular. And also my Wii version is also quite popular as well. In fact, it's more popular. Those two reviews are more popular than my 360 PS3 version review.
Nice.
Crazy.
So it's just weird. When you fill a niche, sometimes people flock to it.
I put in Ghostbusters DS review. First video up there is yours, Craig.
Boom. How many views is it at?
44,000.
I didn't know that many people were that interested in that. It's so weird. And it's actually really odd, too, because, like, my reviews are actually my reviews are not traditionally my most popular kind of videos. So,
yeah.
So it's weird that a review is my most popular video, but that's traditionally not the case.
Somebody's got to cover it.
There you go. So this one we might talk about quite a bit at length, because I have a lot to say about it, but Resident Evil The Mercenaries 3D on 3DS has some save data restrictions in that you can't access your data whatsoever. You can't delete it, and there's only one save file. I've heard Steph's view on this. I really haven't heard much of what Seth has to say. We'll cover everybody, but I'm curious what Seth has to say first.
Honestly, in this type of game, I don't think it's too big of a deal. I don't think it ruins the game or anything. I don't think it should affect secondhand sales unless somebody's extremely picky. But at the same time, I think it's a really stupid restriction to have in. I don't see a reason for not being able to delete your own save data on the cartridge.
That's I'm going to be very verbose, as I usually am when I talk about things, but when put succinctly, that's pretty much how I feel. I don't think it's a big deal. But at the same time, it's kind of dumb, and I can understand why people would be annoyed. You know, but this level of, like, I don't know, rage, mm-hmm. indignation, I think is really, I think it's mostly because the media really covered this unfairly. It was very irresponsible because from the get-go, they framed it as this used game issue. And honestly, I don't think it is. I don't think Capcom did this intentionally as an attack on used games.
Mm-hmm.
I think actually, if you think about that, that's probably like the least likely. It's still a very possible scenario, obviously, with today's modern video games. But I don't think they did. I think that's the least likely scenario. What were they doing? Twirling their mustache, thinking they're going to fuck over used gamers on the platform with the least market penetration? That doesn't make any sense. Like, no one, and this, they had to know this wasn't going to sell a bajillion copies anyway. So, like, who are they trying to screw over? Like, all of, like, 12 people?
Mm-hmm.
I don't, here's what I think happened. I think Capcom is a big company with a ton of projects underway at any given time. While Mercenaries 3D was in development, they probably had roughly half a dozen games with the Resident Evil name attached alone that they were working on. And I don't think Mercenaries was a high priority for them. I think it was this stopgap game between, you know, Super Street Fighter 4, which everyone loved, and Revelations coming up, just to keep the Capcom name out there, maybe to build hype for Revelations, because it does include a demo. I don't think it was intended to be this big thing, so Capcom didn't treat it like a big thing internally. In fact, knowing what I know about game development, if I had to guess, I would guess that Revelations has the primary team working on it, and they probably shuffled people back and forth, and Mercenaries kind of got the shaft.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, whether it was intentional or, like, maybe the team looked at it, like, we don't have time to implement data management, you know, just get this thing out the door. In which case, then you can call the game a cash-in, a money grab, whatever, and honestly, you're probably right. Although I don't think that affects the fun factor of the game. I still very much enjoy the game. We'll get to that later. But it probably is a money grab. And the team just probably didn't have the time. They just ran it out the door. And I think that that's the fact. I think Mercenaries 3D being a low-priority game from Capcom and it getting the shaft in some ways because of that is more likely than Capcom trying to screw over the used game market on a system that is not selling all that well right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you look at it like that, it actually doesn't make sense that they tried to do that.
Right.
None of it really makes sense. I don't, like, what was their official statement on the matter?
Oh, didn't make, oh, that made even less sense. They were like, oh, yeah. It saves directly to the card, so it's a of course, Capcom's not going to say, well, you know, we really shortchanged the development resources for this game. Sorry about that. Like, they're not going to say that. Yeah. That's probably what happened. So they framed it as, like, this technical issue. So everyone heard that and said, oh, bullshit, and just dismissed everything else Capcom said. So when Capcom said, wait, this was an attack on used games, everyone's like, nope, fuck that, you're stupid. And I don't believe it was. I think the media was really irresponsible to shape the story in that direction before they heard anything from Capcom. So instead of, like, actually, like, investigating, has this happened before? And the answer is yes, it has. Mm-hmm. They started calling GameStop. Hey, you got to take this as a nice investigative journalism, Woodward and Bernstein. Congratulations on your Pulitzer. That has nothing to do with anything, whether GameStop's going to take this or not. You know, this has happened before. It's a Monkey Ball on 3DS. Actually, a number of 3DS games. Monkey Ball, Blaze Blue. Both games I own. They don't allow you to delete your data. And lo and behold, those are probably also games developed and put on the system on the cheap. And
I think the first Fire Emblem that came out over here in the U.S., I don't think you could delete the gallery pictures that you unlock as you play. I mean, you could obviously restart the story and replay the story, but I don't think there's any way to, like, delete all the unlockable pictures.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, there are a number of games where, like, they sort of cut you off. Like, you can delete your data, but, like, you have to know some weird button combinations to press.
Oh, yeah. I remember having to look up in instruction manuals for a lot of GBA games.
Yeah. And obviously that's not the same exact thing, but it's just another way that they're restricting your data from you. There are a number of Xbox Live Arcade games that your save files are part of the actual file of the game itself. So if you delete it because you have a small hard drive and you're trying to make space,
mm-hmm,
thinking you can I'll just download it later. Well, you're not going to be where you left off because your data is gone.
Uh-huh.
You know, right. So there are a number of these situations where you're restricted from your data, and it has nothing to do with the used game market. It's just God knows why. I don't think it's malicious.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's inconsiderate. I think it's short-sighted, but I don't think it's malicious. And I think if these news outlets, you know, Kotaku, Joystick, whoever covered this, ran like 5 stories in the course of a single day about this, actually took the time out to do a little research, I think they would have come to the same conclusion. But they just jumped on this, oh my god, Capcom hates used games and they hate you, they're anti-consumer, jumping on that train like right away. That's what the issue was framed as, and that's what everyone jumped on it as.
Right.
But
I'm trying to think of where the whole anti-piracy reason came from.
Like,
who started that? Somebody obviously started that, and
I think that's
like
That's what I read from the get-go. Like, that's what I read when this was first being covered. I think the very first thing, the very first thing I read about this, I think, was on a post on, like, a forum. I think that's where it originally came from. And just someone took a picture of the manual. And then, like, a lot of the news outlets picked it up, and they're like, is this an attack on news games?
So just some random message board dude who thought that's what the reason was, and then everybody went with it.
Well, I don't think the random message board dude said that, if I remember correctly. I think he just took a picture of the manual, and he was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, he just took a picture of it, and then just said, you can't delete your saves. It was really, like, basic. He didn't say anything about used games at all.
Which is funny, because to me, like, this is ironic that Capcom actually had the balls to tell you, you can't delete your save data.
Right.
And other companies have done this before, and they don't tell you, and that's okay. So, like, it's like ignorance is bliss, but, like, when a company says, yeah, you can't do it, oh, fuck these guys.
I wonder if they would have been better off just not even mentioning it at all.
Maybe.
I know,
would anybody have caught on yet at this point?
But, you know, and that brings me to my other point where, like, everyone's like, oh, it's about the principle of the thing. And if it's about principles, like, why are you not complaining about these other games? Why are you not Amazon bombing those? Not that you shouldn't Amazon, but that's a really childish and stupid thing to do, actually. But,
yeah,
you know, if you haven't played the game, I don't really think you should have a right to, you know, bitch.
That's one of the things that really got me upset. The fact that, because I had already played the game, like, you know, I got the game that day. So
yeah,
everyone was saying, oh, you know, I'm boycotting this game. You can't delete your saves. And it just pissed me off.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's not a bad game. Like, don't buy the game if you don't like this type of game. You know what I'm saying? Like, the fact that it only has one save file is not a reason for you to boycott the game. Like,
it's
seriously.
Not.
And to go on Amazon and give all these bad reviews. Like, it's silly.
It is. It is. And you know, it's so funny how quickly, like, gamers will boycott a game and call it principles. But then when you suggest, hey, you should buy this game so you can support it. Like, oh, why should I buy a game to support something?
I'll
like,
wait till it drops in price.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gamers are
Or I'll use my R4. I mean, that's what people say about the DS,
you know? I get that a lot, too. People see my DS collection videos on YouTube, and I'm over 150 games on the DS, and I'm like, why don't you have an R4? Because fuck you, that's why.
Because I want more video games in the future is the reason.
Yeah. Don't be so short-sighted. Don't be so looking at the short term. But, yeah, I mean, gamers only principle when it's... It's not really principle. It's just self-interest, which is fine. Don't get me wrong. If you're paying money for something, you have every right to look at your self-interest. But don't dress it up as principles. Don't make it more than it really is. It's you not wanting, you know, just say what it is. You want to have more access to your, you know, to your data. Perfectly reasonable. It's okay to say that. It's okay to be bothered by this. It's okay not to buy it. But like this level of anger, these boycotts, this Amazon buying, it's all childish. And honestly, this game, it's not really about the unlocks. I'm actually surprised that they make you unlock things. Because to me, like, that's not the fun part of the game. The fun part of the game is, like, taking these things and experimenting with them and killing things and getting better times. Like, that's really what the game is about.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know when I unlock stuff half the time. How about you, Steph? Like, I don't even notice.
Yeah,
I have to back out and, like, look at the menu.
Right. And like I said, like I was telling you before we started the podcast, I've been letting my son play it, so I don't even know what he's unlocked or what's going on with that, but it's just a fun game. Like, I almost want to go out and buy him a 3DS, because he, like, really likes this game, and I think it's the Madden one. Like, he played Madden with his friend. His friend has Madden on 3DS, and he, you know, he's interested, so I'm like, you know what, I might go ahead and buy you one and get this game for him. I mean, it goes against my beliefs of letting him play, you know, games like this, but I mean, it's Resident Evil.
They're
he's
zombies,
shooting
they don't
zombies.
Count.
Right, so he's cool.
That's cool.
You're killing innocent people who could be cured.
You know, I wonder, like, you know, like Super Street Fighter 4, like, Capcom shipped that with everything unlocked.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Why was no one mad then?
The Mercenaries is if you're playing Resident Evil, the Mercenaries 3D for the unlocks, then I'm assuming that's not the point of the game, right?
It's not, and then I would just politely say the game's not for you. It's not,
right.
If that's what you're looking for.
Right.
But, I don't know, I think a lot of people view games as just like this linear series of, like, unlocking things or doing things, and And that's fine. I mean, games should be anything that anyone wants them to be. No game is going to be all those things at once, of course. But.
Did you just say that video games is a series of doing things? Yeah, it's a series of doing things. Like, Craig,
I can't really word it because I don't want to attack how anyone views games. Like, people should be able to play games any way they like. But if you're just playing games just to hear the achievements unlock sound or just for the game to pat you on the back. That's up to you, but like I honestly think that's a very boring way of looking at it. I mean, and I think honestly, people may not know this. Like they say with their mouths, they want to unlock things, they want to challenge things, and maybe in some ways they're conditioned to do that. But I think that more and more people are remembering the experiences they had with games. Like for instance, like the spinner battle in Arbiter's Grounds and Twilight Princess. Everyone remembers that. That's like one of the highlights of the game. Was that hard? Was that challenging? No, that was easy as fuck.
It was just badass. It was just badass and awesome. Fun.
And I think that's what games, I mean, I shouldn't say that's what games should be, but like, that's how I view games. And I think more and more people are coming to view that, but they're just really stuck in this like, I need to be challenged. But I think these experiences, they can be challenging. Sure, they're not mutually exclusive, of course, but I think people are remembering the experiences more than the challenges now, mm-hmm. You know? The rooftop chase sequence in Beyond Good and Evil, amazing, not hard, but it's amazing. It's an amazing experience. And sometimes games are just, they're just fun. They're just these clips of fun things that you're doing. They're not necessarily things that you're unlocking. And Resident Evil Mercenaries, really, even though it has unlocks, that's not really the point. I actually kind of wish they shipped it with everything unlocked, kind of like they did with Super Street Fighter 4.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. It's better that way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I had a problem with Super Street Fighter 4 just because when I played it on the consoles, you know, everything's not unlocked there, and I suck. So I didn't get to see all of the characters, you know what I'm saying? And it was cool to have it on the 3DS because I was able to play with those characters that I never got a chance to
there
play.
There is a point in that as well. I mean, yeah. I really only touched on this in the article that I wrote about mm-hmm. Resident Evil the Mercenaries and the reaction to it. But, mm-hmm. I mean, just sometimes looking at games as, like, a linear progression. I prefer to play my games linearly. I feel like the game is designed to be played a certain way, and I want to play it the way that the creators intended for me to go through it. Mm-hmm. But that's me. Like, you can't look at it that way. Like, sometimes games are just not... You can't look at them as just, like, this linear series of events. You know, like, when a developer talks up a particular scene in a game, you know, like a car chase or something like this, why can't you take the game home and just play that scene? Like, man, I really want to play that. Like, why do you have to build up to it?
Right.
If you want to play that scene, there should be... You know, you buy a CD and, like, you want to experience a single that came out before and you really like it, so you skip the tracks to that single. You're like, oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Why can't you do that in games? I mean, that sort of thing would not work in all games, of course. I don't want every game to ship with a bunch of, like, you know, DVD scene selection menus. That it wouldn't make sense. But for some games, like, I think it's worth exploring. I don't think that forcing people to play it a certain way just because you think that's the right way is...
And a lot of games do, like, well, after you play through it once, they have chapter selects where you
can
just jump around to any chapter you want.
So I'm wondering why that can't be there from the get-go. You know, people are like, oh, well, then what's the incentive to start from the beginning? Your own self-satisfaction. Why do you need the game to make you do these things? Do it yourself.
I don't think that would work in, like, narrative-based games.
Even in narrative, well, that's... Well, maybe because I consider narrative such a low priority in games. Like, you know, like, I agree with that. In narrative-based games, it wouldn't work. But, I mean, like, I look at, like, Gears of War, which has a chapter select. There's a narrative in Gears of War. It's okay. I don't really care about it all that much. But if I wanted to start from a certain point in Gears of War 3 coming up, why shouldn't I? If I don't care about the story, that should be my
prerogative. Do you think that people who do care about the story, the developers would feel like that's telling them, hey, the story in this game doesn't matter?
It could be interpreted as that, right. Sure. And that's what I said. That's why I was saying, like, I prefer to play games in a linear way because there's a way that the developers intended for you. But, you know, as Steph was saying, like, she wouldn't have seen all the characters on the console version of Street Fighter 4 because she's not very good at it. So, you know, determining a developer can't account for everything. They can't make a game that is appropriate for everyone. And I think, you know, certain implementing certain things could make it a better experience while not damaging it for anyone else. I mean, you ship a game, like you ship Gears of War 3 with a chapter select open from the get-go, there's nothing stopping me from playing from the beginning.
Right.
There's no, and I wouldn't skip around. I would play from the beginning. But there's, you know, if people don't want to play from the beginning, they want to skip to the end. No, who cares? Like, right. what skin is it off your nose? You know. But I mean, that's how I view this. Like, if you buy Mercenaries 3D. Use and there's stuff unlocked. Actually, I think the person before you did you a favor. Unlocking stuff is a stupid grind. You know, the fun is actually experimenting with those things, not unlocking them. That's how the game really is meant to be played. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you prefer to unlock things, then sadly this game isn't for you. It should be. Like, there should be. Don't get me wrong, I'm not defending the fact that there isn't a way to delete your data here. I think there should be. I definitely think there should be, and Capcom really screwed the pooch on this one. But. As far as games go that don't have it, this one, it's not a big deal.
Right.
It's just a level-based arcadey shooter.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. I
choose a stage, you get a high score, right?
Absolutely. That's really what it is. And but, you know, I mean, like I was saying, like, you can't assume that, like, people play games for the same reason. So even though that's what the game's intended to be, obviously, certain people may not want that. But I think even if they bought the game brand new or could wipe the save data, I think they would come to realize that, like, unlocking things just isn't an important part of the game. And then it may not be for them. If that's really what they're trying to do is unlock stuff, I mean, this may not be for you, even if you could erase the save data. Because the game makes really not a big deal. It makes a bigger deal of your score. Like, it comes on the screen, it flashes, and, like, half the time I don't even notice what I've unlocked. It's even when you do it for the first time, it's the game doesn't care. It's really not the focal point. But so I guess we can all agree that it should have been in there. Should be a way to erase your data in there, but really not a big deal that it's not. Is that?
Yep.
That's what I'm saying.
Because I think it's an interesting topic with a lot of facets to it. But I think at the end of the day, the media really overblew this and framed it in an incorrect way. I think that was really irresponsible.
Hopefully, maybe one good thing that will come of this is that maybe developers will actually take more time now and implement the feature to delete your save data in all upcoming games.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, like, they won't shortchange that. Yeah, I hope that's what comes of this as well. People take notice. Because, I mean, I'm not a coder. I don't know what it takes to put things into a game like that. I mean, we just think that, like, managing your data is such a simple thing. Like, the vast majority of the games have it. But, I mean, someone has to design those menus. Like, someone has to put that together. Mm-hmm. It's not something that you just poof and it's in the game. So, but, I hope going forward, like, companies realize, like, that's an important part and people want to have that control.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I don't blame anyone for being annoyed. I just think the level of anger is off the charts. World of Warcraft is free to play for the first 20 levels, which is, like, there's not a whole lot to do. It's basically a bunch of fetch quests for the first 20 levels.
Isn't that just like giving somebody some crack for free and then be like, first time's free, buddy?
Oh, I know.
That's the point.
Yeah, because where the action is all late in the game.
Right. So it'll get you addicted to it.
Yep.
That's funny. I like that they're using drug dealer tactics in there.
Right.
I know. This is really a smart move. Like, I think this was really smart the way they're handling this. I'm probably not going to reinstall it. I don't really care, but someone might. It's a better way to do a free trial rather than 14-day free trials, whatever they were doing. I think this is a much smarter way to do it.
I might actually try it, because I've never played World of Warcraft.
Oh, you should give it a shot. It's fun, but I play my games in such a way that, like, paying a monthly fee is just not for me, because I'll go, like, a whole month. I'll buy a brand new game, I'll play it for the first couple days, and then I'll put it down, and I might put it down for a month or two somehow.
Right, yeah, that's how I am, too.
And so paying for it all throughout that time just isn't a good idea for me.
Right. I might give it a shot.
Yeah. Mighty Flip Champs DX coming to PlayStation Minis, which is really interesting. Has WayForward ever put out a game on anything other than a Nintendo system? I know they're not, like, obviously they're not a Nintendo developer, they're not, but I think this is the first time that one of their games has come out on anything other than Nintendo, so that's really interesting. But, I've actually never played any of the Mighty games.
Really?
I haven't. I know. I really should get on that. The new one, I forget what it's called. Looks really
Milky Way? Mighty Milky Way?
No. There's
Yeah. They just announced it, right?
Yeah, yeah. And there was a huge interview in Nintendo Power.
Yeah, yeah. That looks pretty cool.
Like,
I really wish I knew what you guys were talking about. Please tell me.
Give me a sec. My Nintendo Power's right here. I'll grab it. It's like, it looks a bit like Mega Man-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at their list of games, they have
Mighty Switch Force.
There you go.
And you bring platforms. Basically, you bring platforms. It's for the 3DS eShop, and you play as like this robot, and you shoot things and stuff, which is, you know, like I said, it's pretty Mega Man-ish. But you can also control platforms, and you bring them into the you switch them from the foreground and background, and obviously you use that for platforming puzzles. But you can also use it to, like, kill enemies, like, and smash them into the screen and stuff.
Right.
So I'm really interested in that. So I might stock up on Mighty Flip Champs and Mighty Milky Way before that comes out.
They do have a PS2 and Xbox game.
Okay.
All right.
And they have a PC game, and they have Blood Rain coming up on Xbox Live Arcade and PS2.
Oh yeah, that's a good point. So yeah, they're branching out. Good for them.
But yeah, the vast majority of stuff's all on Nintendo hardware.
This downloadable tactic is really working out well for them.
Mm-hmm.
It fits their games perfect.
Yeah. So good for them. Good for WayForward. Club Nintendo has announced their elite status rewards. If you have platinum, you get a set of pins that come individually boxed, and then the boxes have different graphics on each side. When you put them together, they basically form a puzzle. There's three different puzzles for three different sides of the boxes, and you can just arrange them.
I'm mad. Not because of the reward. I think the reward's fine. Whatever. It's free.
Uh-huh.
Fill out some surveys.
Well, yeah, free with any $1,000 purchase.
I'm mad.
Right.
I think it comes to like $600.
I don't know.
Because it's 600 coins for, that's around 600. Whatever, but I'm mad because this is actually the same platinum gift that Japan got for their last year's thing, but they had cooler pictures on their puzzle box.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah, they had like the...
What do we have, like a Goomba? Like, we got some 8-bit shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
They got like the artwork for Mario Bros. 1 in Japan for the Famicom.
Oh, wow.
What?
Yeah, for one of their box puzzle sides. So, screw them.
On gold members, you guys get a calendar. So. I'm okay with this. I'm okay. Uh-huh. I'm not super psyched. Honestly, I like the hat. I like the little statue. I like those things because you can. They look neat and you can show them off. Like, what am I going to do with a fucking like 20 little boxes?
I'll tell you. If I could make the picture of the Mario Bros. 1 Famicom box, I could put it on display.
Or even if it was Zelda themed. I mean, really? Like, did they just, like, forget about Zelda? Like, what's going on with that?
I guess maybe if it was Zelda themed, that might be a little bit softer.
Right.
I mean, I like Mario, don't get me wrong. I don't think these are bad prizes, but I'm not super psyched either.
I'm going to say it's their weakest yet.
Yes, I think that's fair to put.
For sure.
But it's still not terrible, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I just don't know what I'm going to do with, like, I mean, how many pins are there? Like 20 of them, right? 25. What am I going to do? 25 little boxes.
Crazy.
Go work at Fridays, dude. You got plenty of flair.
Oh, right.
Wow. I started with any extreme fajitas. And finally, here for news, Professor Layton and the Eternal Diva is coming to North America.
Woo.
Viz Media is bringing that to North America. No news on dubbing, or I don't believe there's a release date either, but that's good news, because this has been out for a long time everywhere else.
I know.
Dude, I was looking to import this, but stupid Blu-ray players are region locked, and I was like, damn it, I need this movie. And now it's coming.
Yeah.
Of course, I wouldn't do anything illegal to obtain it, because I'm not like that.
Okay. All right, well, that wraps it up for news. Now we can talk about what?
It's a good Layton year, though. Got Professor Layton 4 confirmed to come over, and now we got the movie coming over.
Uh-huh.
Good year for Layton fans, I think.
I'm
Craig, shut up. Just because you don't even care about Layton, just be.
I got nothing to say. I didn't say nothing.
You can't see the beauty in the series.
Oh my god, I spilled my matchsticks. Can you arrange them into a puzzle shape?
Why, yes, I can. Actually, no, my assistant can. I don't actually do any work.
Nah, it's all good. All right,
child slavery.
This week's topic is Sonic the Hedgehog celebrating 20 years of the Blue Blur.
He's in good shape for an old dude.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he did get thinner and taller.
I think he had some work done.
I did.
I also threw in some contact lenses.
He doesn't look like a hedgehog anymore.
Did he ever look like a hedgehog?
Well,
I don't.
Hedgehogs are a bit
slot. I know you know what a hedgehog looks like.
Well, no, he never really looked like a hedgehog, but
I mean, hedgehogs have, like, a long snout. Sonic has, like, his mouth looks like a hot dog bun.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, yeah.
A chili hot dog bun? You know, I was never that big on Sonic the Hedgehog. I think I've always liked everything about Sonic.
Because you were ignoring your Genesis when you were a kid.
The Genesis definitely did not get as much love as our Super Nintendo. That was our primary system at the time, but I don't know. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. That's not necessarily a knock on the games, because, like, I enjoy the games. Like, I do enjoy the gameplay. I guess I just don't revere it on the same level other people do. Like, I love the music. I love the character. I love the quote-unquote attitude or whatever. I love, you know, I love the style that it sort of exudes. But I love all that stuff more than I love the gameplay. I always have.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I just...
I'm with you on that.
I love the sort of adoration of Sonic more than I love Sonic itself. Mm-hmm. if that makes sense at all.
I'm going to have to completely disagree, because I absolutely love the gameplay in the Genesis Sonic games.
Mm-hmm.
A lot. I mean, they're unique amongst themselves.
Absolutely.
I went into this in the article I wrote, but they're like the only momentum-based platformers. Chris complaining about Sonic, oh, you can't even walk up a hill. That's what makes Sonic unique. You have to get the momentum in order to run up these hills, and you have to get the momentum in order to reach platforms and such.
Yeah, I know, but I think it makes it feel clunky and unwieldy. Like, I understand where you're coming from, but that is the point of Sonic. And I can appreciate that on most levels, but I just think sometimes when Sonic does shit that I don't want him to do because he controls funky.
No, you gotta get the finesse. You gotta get the groove going in there.
Nah, there's no groove.
Yes, there's definitely groove. I'll sit you down and make you watch me play through Sonic games. And you'd be like, ah, that's a good groove. It's just, this sort of reminds me of Ninja Gaiden. A lot of people complain about the early... NES Ninja Gaiden games are like, oh, I can't even hit things, and hit detection sucks. I'm like, what? I think it works perfectly. You just get this groove going, and you just run through it perfect. I don't know, it just feels good.
I mean, I agree with you on that, because, like, when I can sit and watch gameplay footage and be like, wow, that looks really good. But when I play it, I can't do it. It doesn't look as good when I play it. I just don't have the patience, you know what I'm saying? Like, coming from playing Mario, you know what I'm saying, and being able to take it slow and steady and, you know what I'm saying, jump over every single thing and go down every single tube, I kind of get frustrated with Sonic. I mean, I love Sonic. I played a lot of the Sonic games, but I get so frustrated because I kind of want to explore more, and I feel like it's over just like that. You know what I'm saying? That's my problem with it.
Yeah, I feel like because it's all momentum-based, you're more concerned with finding something to dash down or
whatever.
Rather than, so I think it makes exploring a little more troublesome than it needs to be.
Yeah, and the levels look so good. You want to explore.
I think in later games, probably even starting with Sonic, like the first Sonic game, I think it's really slow. There's a lot to explore too. I don't think you have to worry about going too fast and missing things in the first Sonic game.
Yeah.
I think starting in Sonic 2, they start getting a little faster, and by Sonic 3 and Knuckles, I could easily see people just running past. But honestly, I play the Genesis game slow. I do not just run through everything. I play them really slow. Especially when I was first playing them, I didn't know where all the secrets were. I would just explore this game more than a Mario game, because the levels are tiered there's multiple paths through the levels, so I would just explore these games like crazy. I wasn't concerned with running through anything at all. The only time I was concerned about running was when I needed to in order to reach a platform or something. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's just because I play these games different than a lot of people, but I don't know.
Because the way you describe it, I'm like, oh, that sounds awesome. I'm like, wait a second, I played this game and it's not awesome.
Yeah, that's great. That's honestly not... I never played Sonic games just running through them.
Well, see, neither do I, but I just... I sort of feel like the things that you have to do to set yourself up to be able to explore makes it cumbersome and it turns me off. Uh-huh. Like, oh, I can't get up there. I have to find, like, you know, a ramp or something, or I need to dash down this hill, or, like, I think it makes it...
That's awesome. What are, okay. You're crazy.
I think it just makes it a little more complicated than it needs to be.
I don't know.
Okay. No, I definitely see your point. Don't get me wrong. And I think that's a really good way of looking at it. I never really thought about that. I see how you look at it as a challenge. I look at it as not as just cumbersome.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's subtle, but it's different than most platformers in that way. And I guess if you don't like it, you don't like it.
I don't hate it. Like, let me be clear. I know I'm being down on it, but I don't hate Sonic games. I own 1, 2, 3, like, 8 different ways. So I clearly don't hate them. It's just I'm not as up on them as Seth is.
I see.
And,
yeah.
You know, which is ironic because one of my favorite Sonic... I have 2 favorite Sonic games. One of my favorites is Sonic CD. And I like
which is one I'm not big on.
Yeah, I like Sonic CD because it's chaotic. It's like a weird game. Like the levels don't make any sense. You're just fucking flying around with no rhyme or reason.
The level design is so haphazard.
It is so weird. And I play it that way. Like I don't care because like I'm not trying to do anything.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you're high or low. You just go flying around wherever on the screen.
It's true. And I understand why you wouldn't like that. And it sucks too because like you'll try to be getting somewhere and all of a sudden you fling across the screen. Go through a signpost and it's like future, and you're like, son of a fucking bitch, I don't want to be here.
You know, there's actually no bottomless pits in Sonic CD. There's no, you can't fall and die. Only on the like very last level is there actually.
I never noticed that, but you're right.
Yeah.
Maybe that's good because you don't really have a whole lot of control over Sonic half the time.
Yeah. And I don't know, the music, and apparently the Japanese and European version has a completely different soundtrack from the U.S. version.
That's what I've heard too. Yeah, I've never heard the music, but I have heard that.
But I was not a fan of the music in the game. I like the opening song, the Sonic Boom song.
Everyone likes Sonic Boom.
Right?
You're not human if you don't like Sonic Boom.
But the actual songs in the game, like, this isn't Sonic music. So I don't know. And I wasn't big on the special stages in that game either, the, like, Mode 7 type thing where you just run... Yes.
Godly. This is godly. And the animation's really awesome, too.
It's really good. Especially if you have, like, one of the collection discs where it has, like, the completely clean...
Sonic. It's so weird when like Sonic became like romanticized, like, go Sonic, you can save the forest creatures. Like what?
that's because of the cartoons.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I think it's weird that I like Sonic's really good in that. What's that?
I said the animation's really good at
I like the animation a lot too. I like the scene where like the boulder kind of drops down. From the
it just like goes up
Sonic
through,
just
tunnels
right
through it.
Oh yeah, it's cool. Cool.
So awesome.
But it's weird that like the things I'm complaining about in Sonic 1 through 3, and I guess even Sonic and Knuckles, is the reason why I enjoy Sonic CD. I just love flying around. I think the game is conducive to flying around though, until you hit a signpost and you go to a time period.
Sometimes I can't tell like what's the level. I think like Workbench Zone is the name of the level. I can't tell what's like background. Or what, something I could jump on.
I'm having trouble with that in Sonic. I mean, well, I shouldn't say I have trouble with that, but like, I think Sonic Generations, the new one that's coming out later this year, is very busy looking.
I actually like it. I didn't have trouble. Actually, no, I'm going to take that back. There's one platform. There's one platform in that whole level in the demo that I thought that I could jump on, but it's actually in the background. But otherwise, I wasn't having a problem with it at all. I actually like it a lot.
Yeah, you had said that. I don't know. I haven't played the demo yet. It just from second hand. So admittedly, it's second hand, but it looked a little.
Go play the fucking demo, and then complain with along with me about Sonic jumping weird.
He looks like he jumped
weird. He does kind of jump weird.
He looks like he kind of float into the air, and when you hit your apex, you just kind of drop back down like a rock. Is that what it feels like?
Yeah, because it feels like he's struggling to jump up, so that's like what the slow looking upwards is, and then he just sinks right down. Like I was just replaying Sonic 1 the other day. You have a lot of finesse once you're in the air. You could jump and you could move him around a lot, and it just feels a lot better. He feels like he's heavy and floaty at the same time. It's not a good feeling.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. What do you guys think of the adventure games?
Wait, what was your second favorite Sonic game?
Sonic Colors.
Okay, I haven't played that yet, so...
I don't know how you feel about it, because there's actually a lot of side-scrolling platforming in that game. And it's more traditional-based platforming, it's not really momentum, there's some momentum.
I saw that, yeah, it looks a lot of basic platforming. It's not really Sonic platforming, I don't know.
No, it's not Sonic platforming, it's your traditional jump around, but there's... it's weird because I guess that just doesn't work in 3D.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't at all.
They in Sonic Colors, and this is why I like it. They actually break it off into two separate elements where like there are some points where you dash around, but it's a completely separate element from the platforming. You know, it's almost like a fixed path. You sort of dodge left and right, maybe jump a little bit, but they're really more for eye candy because honestly, the momentum stuff just doesn't work in 3D. It never has. There's no game where it does. So, I think Sonic Colors strikes the right balance, even though it has to split them off.
I think the momentum base actually works really good in Tony Hawk's skateboarding games. Actually, that's
yeah, but you're not in Tony Hawk's skateboarding games. You're not really trying to progress from one end of the level to the other.
Yeah,
you are, but in most levels you're not.
No, but it doesn't work for a platformer type game, but right. It actually works a lot with
If you look at like there are some Tony Hawk, like early Tony Hawk levels, like I think like in the first
the Phoenix, the Phoenix level and the mall level in the first Tony Hawk,
right? Those could work, but you're kind of on rails, you know. It's a very narrow, it's like basically like a narrow hallway that has some ramps and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, in that way that's a good point. That could actually work for Sonic, but I think people will get sick of levels built like that.
Yeah, I think they would.
I think that would be very boring. But a more open level just wouldn't suit a linear platformer like Sonic. He's not Mario. You can't have, like, these open levels with, like, objectives. And it just wouldn't seem right. It's
a bit of a conundrum, right?
Yeah, it is. Which is why Sonic Colors...
You can't really do classic Sonic in 3D, I think.
No, I don't think you can. Which is why we've seen all this trouble after the transition to 3D. Because, like, I really enjoyed Sonic 1 and 2 when they came out. And I still I still like them. I still have soft spots for them. But they did not age well. There's a lot of, like, especially Sonic 1, there's a lot of problems in that game.
Sonic Adventure 1.
Yeah, sorry. Sonic Adventure 1. I do that often. Yeah, Sonic Adventure 1. I mean, I love those games when they first came out. But, like I said, I still like them. But, like, you fall through the ground.
That game had so many glitches.
Yeah, it did. It had a ton of glitches.
It was a mess.
And I didn't
care because I wanted to keep playing it. Be like, oh, fuck. I went through a wall here. But just try again. I'll try to stay away from that wall.
But I don't know. It's weird because, like, I look back on them. I can't take off the nostalgia glasses with Sonic 1 and 2, Sonic Adventure 1 and 2, because if I did, like, I would have probably hate the games.
Yeah, that's...
I have to be honest here. I have to keep the nostalgia glasses on. I mean, I like a lot to them. Like, some sequences are kind of nice, and the graphics are... They were very good for their time. They were very different from everything else. And the music's... Well, in some parts, maybe not so hot, but... I like it. I like Open Your Heart. I'll admit it.
Mm-hmm.
I
like it.
I also like the chow raising a lot.
I did, too. I used to take my VMU to school. I'm like, what's that, bitches?
My VMU? dude, I was like having to buy CR2032 batteries.
2032,
like, oh.
Yeah. People are like, you know what's in there? And I'm like, dude, I've had to buy these by like the crates.
I honestly don't know if I could replay them again.
Not with fresh eyes. I couldn't. Like I said, I think I would hate them.
Especially, like, Big the Cat fishing and stuff.
The Froggy.
And the story is so, so overblown for a Sonic game. It's, like, insane. You got, like, entire cities crumbling and
shit.
I know.
And it's like, where did this come from?
It's Chaos, the God of Destruction!
What the fuck?
I don't know. I'm one of those that hates that they switched him over to Eggman, too.
I actually prefer Eggman. I think Robotnik's a dumb name.
So what happened to that? Like, why did they go from Eggman
to... It's
the
same thing with Peach, with Princess Peach. That Eggman's his name in Japan, and Peach is also her name in Japan. And they, for some reason, they called him Robotnik here and called her Toadstool here. And just at one point, inexplicably, they decide to switch the names.
They ease you into it, though. In Sonic Adventure 1, I think they call him, like, Eggman 1. Sonic taunts him as Eggman. And in Sonic Adventure 2, they call him, like, Robotnik, like, once or twice, and then just Eggman the rest of the time.
That's true. Yeah, because, they did sort of retcon it as, like, an insult to call him Eggman.
Even in Japan, I was watching, I don't know what website I found this on, but in the Sonic anime, there's, like, a little profile that pops up on, with Eggman, and it does have his, like, official, his real name as Robotnik.
Huh. Well, that's a bunch of confusing bullshit that I guess I don't really have an opinion on.
Yep. So I think his real name is really Robotnik. That's his real given... Or
his mom
his
didn't
real,
name him...
His Eggman. Family name. That's his family name. His family name is Robotnik. He's from a long line of Robotniks. But I guess he goes by Eggman. That's his bad guy name. I think Robotnik sounds
evil.
Listen,
if you don't
want to
be called Eggman, don't call your ship the fucking egg carrier. That's pro tip. Like,
or the
do
death
that.
Egg.
What's that?
The death egg.
The death egg.
That's what's in Sonic 3 and Knuckles. He has this big fucking Death Star called the death egg.
Yes. Yep.
George Lucas is going to sue somebody.
What do you think of Sonic Adventure 1 and 2, Steph?
Well, okay, I didn't have a Dreamcast. That was around the time when I kind of stopped playing video games.
What kind of nerd are you?
I know, right? Gosh. My husband's cousin would come over and bring his Dreamcast, and that was the only game I wanted to play, was Sonic Adventure. I never even, to this day, I still haven't played Sonic Adventures 2. So that's something I want to get my hands on. But, I did buy Sonic Adventure. I have Sonic Adventure for the Dreamcast now. I played it. I like it. But I went back and bought it on Xbox Live. And for some reason, I couldn't play it. I don't know why. I don't know what happened. But it just felt unplayable. Like, I played it for 10 minutes. And I was like, hell no. It's like, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know. But I do like that game. Like, the music, like you said, the music, I like the music. I remember in the beginning, the part where he's, like, running down the street, and you're going down the street, like, down the hill, and I was like, wow! Look at that! You know, whenever he would come over, whenever my husband's cousin would come over and play, I'd just be, like, amazed, like, wow, that's awesome. Sonic has grown up. Like, that's just so cool. But, yeah, that's all I can really say about Sonic Adventures 1 and 2. I know more about the older Sonics, you know.
Yeah.
1, 2, and 3. And Knuckles.
I think the problem with Sonic Adventure... I mean, I think Sonic Adventure 1 got, like, a huge free pass because it was, like, so fucking new.
I think so, too. I think it got a huge free pass. Absolutely.
Like, if this had come out, like, way late on the Dreamcast or even on a newer system, I think it would have got slammed hard.
I wonder what the development was like on that.
Probably hell.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out how to transition Sonic into 3D on new hardware.
Yeah.
And it was probably a bitch.
Because they had tried to do it before with Sonic Extreme, and then that didn't come out. It was probably the reason why that project got shit-canned.
Mm-hmm. I will give the game bosses, though. I thought it handled boss fights really well.
Where you just ran around in a circle dodging shit?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, that. No, I did handle it pretty well. I mean, some of the things were pretty fun, too. I mean, like, what is that? That wind level or whatever. Where, like, I mean, it's basically on rails. You don't do anything. But I don't know. I still kind of enjoyed the ride.
It looks so cool.
It does.
Wrong.
You're like, watch this. And you're like, look at that. And, what's up? And like, all you do is forward.
Even when it's supposed to be automatic, like you're running away from a whale and there's dash pads under you, then all of a sudden Sonic glitches out and won't go on the dash pad and gets eaten by a whale. You're like, oh, why the fuck that happened?
Yeah, yeah. There's some misguided stuff in there too, like finding like keys.
Yeah. Is that the Knuckles gameplay?
I thought they all had no, like we had like unlock certain levels, you had to find like these little totems that look like keys and they kind of float into little sockets. I don't know if that was specifically Knuckles.
Alright.
Didn't Knuckles have to like dig for like crystals or something like that?
Yeah, that's what I thought was crystals. And you have like a time limit and like in random spots a lot of the times and
oh, I know.
This is basically a game of hot and cold. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. It's little ding, 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 ding. Yeah, I remember that crap.
Yep. And waddling around.
These levels are stupid because they're ranked on time, but the fucking crystals are in random places every time, so.
Yep.
You get your rank by luck with Knuckles on there.
Yep. And then with Sonic Adventure 2, they make you do it twice with, like, Rouge.
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, I think Amy might have had, like, the best gameplay in that game.
She controlled, like, a piece of shit, though.
Did she?
When you got the hammer, like, it was really cool. I had a lot of fun, like, building up speed and then doing those high
jumps. Yeah, I like the hammer jumps.
Right. But, like, her turning, like, her handling before she has speed, terrible. All
right. It's been a while since I played.
What do you guys think of the newer games? The ones where, like, wow, Sonic Adventure didn't work out. Let's put Sonic in, 1001 Arabian Nights, or let's make them fight the Black Knight, or let's turn them into a
whale. I passed on those.
The Secret Rings one wasn't too bad, though. That one wasn't that bad. I haven't tried Black Knight. I guess that's what it's called. Black Knight?
Yeah, Sonic meets the Black Knight.
Was that a Scooby-Doo episode?
Zoinks, Tails.
Like, let's get out of here, Tails. That's how you do a Shaggy.
Can't do it. You're more of a stoner than I am. What can I say?
I do not smoke at all, by the way. I'm drug-free.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's the only way to be.
Sounds like a PSA now. Yeah, I have never played any. I have not played Sonic, what is it, 2006? The one was called Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, I didn't play that one either.
I haven't played Black Knight. I haven't played the Secret Rings. I haven't played that Unleashed.
Like, I know you like Heroes, though, Craig.
What?
I know you like Heroes, Sonic Heroes.
I thought Sonic Heroes was pretty good. And, like, now, and I could have sworn it got good reviews when it came out, too, but, like, now all I see are people, like, hammering on it.
Whenever I hated it right when I got it.
Sonic come, I'm curious what kind of reviews this thing got, because I could have sworn it got decent reviews, and I kind of liked it. I didn't think it was, I mean, as a Sonic game, it's sort of, like, weird and doesn't really suit Sonic, but. And now everyone's like, oh, Sonic Heroes. And I'm like, oh, I thought that was kind of okay. It looks like it got pretty mediocre scores.
They're not bad.
No, they're not bad.
They're just mediocre.
Mediocre. And I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was excellent, but I thought it was pretty good. Enjoyed it. I think that was about it, though. I can't really recall. I like the handheld ones. I know Seth doesn't. Like, you sort of dropped off after Sonic Advance 3.
Yeah, yeah. The 3 is what killed it for me. I tried Rush again. I was like, maybe, because Rush was getting really positive reception. I didn't really like Rush. I beat it. I still beat it, so I didn't absolutely hate it. Rush Adventure, though, I could not put up with.
I stopped it. Like, here, go grind for more bullshit. And I'm like, are you?
Yeah, kidding? I didn't like that one. The second one on the DS, I didn't like it.
Yeah.
At first, I thought the setup was kind of interesting. Like, okay, it's a platformer, and it's got, you know, some objectives and goals. Like, this could be interesting. And then the more I play it, I'm like, this is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like Rush, and I especially like the music in Rush because it's done by the same guy who did Jet Set Radio.
Yeah.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
Yep. It is. Especially the bonus level music. Oh, it's so good.
I honestly don't even recall any of the music in Sonic.
I want to see if it's on YouTube. Did you guys play Sonic Chronicles?
Yeah.
No, that's an RPG by BioWare, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
How was that, Stephanie?
Boring. Very boring.
Best way to put it is so boring.
Very boring, unfortunately. It sounded cool, but when I played it, not so much.
Yeah. No, I don't even think I thought it sounded cool. Like, I bought it anyway, even though I didn't think it's BioWare. Like, you have these conversation trees in, like, Sonic games. It makes no sense. And then, like, when you're out, like, exploring, you, like, have to tap, like, icons.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Like, there's a serious thunderstorm going on.
I'm pretty sure this is the bonus stage music, right? Nah. You're like, wait. So. Anyway, yeah, Sonic Brotherhood sucked. That was so misguided. I couldn't press the button to jump. I had, like, tap icons to, like, jump up on a ledge. I'm like, oh, wow, this is some thrilling, fast-paced Sonic gameplay right here.
It just seems like a poor concept for a Sonic game.
It is, but because there is this huge following of, like, Sonic fans that are so into, like, the characters, like, in the stories and stuff, where they, you know, they care about, like, Sally and, like, and the, who's the voice actor for Sonic. Like, they care about this stuff so much that it while it seems misguided for...
It's true. It's not for us.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I'm not sure even if other people wanted to suffer through that game, so...
I'm sure plenty of people liked it.
Yep.
Yeah. That's the thing with Sonic games. Like, no matter how much I might hate a Sonic game, there's always... I always see people who still like them.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's what's interesting about Sonic. It's like... I don't know how to phrase this. Like, even if, like, a game seems universally bad, there's still, you know, a certain, like, subsect of people that really enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
God, the battle sucks so much in Sonic Chronicles. God, yeah. I don't care. Actually, I'm putting my foot down on that one. Anyone likes that game, you're crazy. You're crazy.
Gonna get some Sonic hate mail.
You know?
Don't piss off Sonic fans, dude. They're crazy.
They are hardcore.
A lot of them are hardcore. But, man, I'm telling you, battles are bullshit. Bullshit. Now,
Sonic 4.
I haven't played that. I played the demo, and I just wasn't impressed.
Dude, I like everything but the physics in that game, which I think
are
just...
Yeah, the physics are weird.
Completely not... They're not... Any, like, they're making this game that's basically trying to recapture old Sonic fans, I think, and they just completely blow the physics. It doesn't feel like an old Sonic game at all. It sort of looks like one.
Yeah.
But it does not feel like one.
Yeah.
I don't know what, like, recent... They're trying to, like, kill Sonic rolling. They only want him running all the time. Like, rolls in that game last really short. They slow you down.
Yeah. That was weird. And,
even, like, in newer Sonic games, they're giving him a slide move and shit. He could fucking roll. He doesn't need to slide. He can roll into a ball.
But he looks so cool when he slides.
He does look, I will give you that. He does look cool, but... He's a hedgehog, dude.
Like, they don't really roll when
I was replaying
balls,
Sonic 1. Shut up. I was replaying Sonic 1. There's a hill. You roll down. You roll down the hill, and that gives you your speed and momentum to, like, go through loop-de-loops and stuff. I tried to do that in, like, Sonic Generations. You can see it in the video. I tried to roll down a hill through one of the loop-de-loops, and Sonic can't make it.
Yeah, yeah. What the fuck was that?
I have to retread, and I have to run through it. And that's... Sega needs to go back and play these older games, I think, and... Make Sonic roll more. I like Sonic rolling. I like when Sonic is rolling. That makes me happy. I don't want to run nonstop with Sonic. I want to roll with him.
I'm going to roll with you, too.
Right. Is that a drug reference? I don't know.
No, I wasn't going that way, but it's fine. now, Seth didn't play Colors, but you have, right, Steph?
Yes, I have. I only played the Wii one. I didn't play the DS one yet.
DS one plays a lot like a better version of Sonic Rush.
Okay, that's cool.
I really like the Wii version. I think it's a great game. I think
It's fun.
The platform is
challenging. Looks good. Oh my gosh!
I love the use of color, and I love the variety, the themes of the different levels.
I say I'm buying this game.
Yeah, you should.
You should.
I'm gonna hate it so much too.
You may not. You know, the thing is though, I don't know. Like we said, Sonic just doesn't work in 3D. So if you're looking for that kind of gameplay, if you're looking for something that captures the essence of the Genesis games, you're probably not going to find that.
I don't think it needs to be exactly like that for me to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think I can still find a good game that's a good game, maybe.
Okay. Okay. It's just, this is Sonic updated. Like, this is not, it's not the same kind of gameplay.
I don't know. I might hate it. Maybe I shouldn't buy it.
But I mean, like, Mario Galaxy is nothing like Super Mario World. Like, they're nothing alike.
Right.
It's just that, I think you're looking for a very specific element to the Sonic games. I am. And you're not going to find it here, I don't think, in Sonic Colors. But I think Sonic Colors tries to take, again, like I said, I'm more attracted to the essence of Sonic rather than the traditional Sonic gameplay, and I think Sega captured that perfectly here, and I think that's why I like it so much, and it has like gameplay that makes sense, not only for Sonic, but I think, you know, for the modern era. And
now I want to buy it again.
You should. It's only $20 on Amazon. $19.14.
It's really cheap on there.
It is.
I'll have to buy something else to pad my purchase so I get free shipping.
So, I mean, you have traditional platforming segments. You have these power-ups. You have the on-rails things that I'm sure you don't like. But they're usually pretty short-lived here. Like, they're really used just to connect a platforming sequence to another platforming sequence in a level. So then you'll run down, like, this highway, and you'll dodge left and right, maybe jump for some rings, and then back to platforming. And there's even some exploration, not the momentum-based exploration that you like. I think we just lost
them. I did see some power-ups. Did we lose somebody?
We did. We lost Steph.
Stephanie!
Maybe she lost power. She said she's getting thunderstorms over there.
Oh, yeah. I did hear her.
So, we'll try and add her back. But, like I said, if you're looking for a very specific formula, you're probably not going to find it. But I think if you're a little more open to what Sonic could be in the year, you know, 2010.
I don't know if I can be, though.
I think we lost Steph. I think she might have lost power.
That's too bad.
Yeah,
that's
a shame. She's not online. Thank
God she's gone.
If she comes back, we will add her back, but we're going to move forward. What do you think about how could Sonic be relevant for you?
In a new game?
In a new game.
In a new 3D game?
Well, I know what it would take for a 2D game, so yes.
I honestly don't know that.
Make it 2D. Like, that's what
it is.
Well, that's
maybe some sort of.
Yeah.
Maybe like puzzle challenge based, small challenges that actually could use the momentum to reach places. Not even exactly like the older games at all. Maybe like smaller areas where. Maybe like a puzzle platformer, like where you have to figure out how to proceed through a level. Like each level is like its own small little momentum-based puzzle or something.
That. So you're not looking at it as a linear, like, I need to get from point A to point B necessarily, but like, well, maybe a little like that.
A little.
I'm picking up what you're putting down, but I can't.
But, like, yeah, how do I use the elements that are here in this area I'm in to proceed?
Right.
I think a game like that could work in 3D.
But even then, it wouldn't be a whole lot of. There wouldn't be a whole lot of speed. I think it'd be a lot of like downtime, looking around, and.
I think so. I don't think a lot of people would like this.
I think it would be way too slow because I think, you know, regardless of how like you or I may look at Sonic, the fact of the matter remains that Sega built him up to be this speed demon, so the gameplay has to be fast, even though it wasn't always that fast. And I think that's what they try to play at.
I think Marble Hill Zone in Sonic is Marble Hill Marble Something Zone in Sonic 1. The second zone is it's a very slow paced zone.
We have Steph back, by the way.
Okay, Stephanie, are you here? Are you calling her? Is she actually back, or are you lying to me?
It says she's on the call, but she's not talking. What the fuck, Skype?
But I think something where you explore the environment and then you use Sonic's speed, and you have to build momentum to get the speed. You have to figure out how to get the speed needed.
It does, this sounds a lot like Tony Hawk. Like way you're talking, I'm picturing like a Tony Hawk level where like I need to find ramps to like boost up to this roof, and then maybe run down the roof or whatever it is to get to like another point where I need to figure out another way to build up momentum to.
Yes, honestly, I think Tony Hawk is kind of similar. It's sort of like Sonic in 3D, I guess.
Yeah, I still think that there's going to be a lot of downtime. I don't know how. I think that could be a fun game. And I think even attaching Sonic to it wouldn't be that bad, but you're still going to find people that would not enjoy that. Honestly, actually, now that I come to think of it, Sonic in 3D, you're never going to please everyone.
The fan base has been pretty hugely split with Sonic.
I think even just within this own podcast, like we've determined that people view Sonic very differently.
That's another one of the points of my article.
Yeah,
Sonic's
different
to every person.
Absolutely, so... I don't think...
I'm actually kind of glad I wrote that article, because I don't think I would have came to... Because as I was writing it, I was telling you, I don't know how to make this where it's not such a huge downer. But as I was writing it, I was like thinking, well, there's still people who love Sonic games. There's still people who like the new gameplay.
Yep.
And I thought, well, you know, Sonic's probably not that bad. He's just not for me anymore.
Well, you know, it's funny you mention that, because... Our question where we asked the listeners, well, they're also the audience. It's just, we asked the fans, like, oh, wow, weird, we have fans. Like, we asked, you know, what their favorite Sonic game was, and almost invariably, it's the earlier Sonics. I don't think anyone really mentioned anything other than the earlier games. Everyone, well, Andrew here said that Sonic Adventure and Colors are his two favorites. But pretty much everyone mentioned the first three or Sonic and Knuckles. Sean said Sonic CD and Sonic Adventure as well, and Lukey put in Sonic Sega Superstars Tennis, which, Lukey, I'm not so sure that counts. But, It pretty much is the first four games. Well, I guess three. I think Sonic and Knuckles and Sonic 3 were supposed to be one game, and they broke it up.
Mm-hmm.
So basically the Genesis games is really where everyone's heart lies. So,
and that's just their favorites. It doesn't mean they don't like.
That's a good point.
A lot of the newer games.
I mean, I like Sonic Rush. I like some of the advanced games. The advanced games, I don't know. Like, I like them, but at the same time, they feel sort of like Sonic by numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get that feeling, too, from them?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, they're not bad games. They're just very, I don't know, mechanical in their design. And I like Sonic Colors. So, I mean, there are some newer ones that I like. Sonic Heroes, like I said, is okay. But, yeah, going forward, I mean, I think your idea of, like, this, you know, puzzle platformer trying to figure out where to go using momentum in 3D could be cool. Again, you're probably going to piss people off with that, but
yeah.
It could be cool.
I mean, it's not a traditional Sonic game. It's not like the old Sonic games. It's nothing like the new Sonic games. So I think that's something that would work for Sonic in 3D, personally.
Sonic Generations looks interesting. It looks like it could be fun. I mean, it has a Sonic Colors gameplay, which I like.
Honestly, if they fix the jumping, I would be really happy with it.
They're not gonna. it's like they have not been able to get that jumping down lately.
It's so weird. I don't know why.
And
you know what? The game uses the Havoc engine too, which
does it really?
So I don't know. That's like one of the first things that comes up through all the various logos when you start the game, when you start the demo. And I don't know if you need realistic Havoc engine physics for your Sonic games.
Oh.
But I really like the level design and I like the look of it, so.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like it has potential. And I think even if the physics aren't fixed, I mean, I haven't played, so I can't really talk, but I mean, do you really think that would be, like, a deal breaker for you?
Maybe.
Okay.
I'm stubborn. Now, somebody in the comments,
I've noticed.
somebody in the comments said that they didn't like it at first. They played it a few more times and they got used to it. So maybe it's not that bad. Maybe it's something you can get used to.
Okay. Steph just tweeted at me. She said she lost power, so that's exactly what happened. Do you have anything you'd like to add on the subject of Sonic? I think I've said all I can say on the topic.
I think Nintendo did a better job of capturing Sonic's essence in Brawl than Sega has in a lot of their recent games.
Well, that's your final word. That's a pretty... All right, then. Well, now we can do listener questions. Like listener answers, when we ask you a question. We do this on Facebook. Just hit us up. It's facebook.com/TVandLust, or you can search for us. We're there. Jordan asks, do you think the 3D effect is mandatory on 3DS titles, or can the developer choose whether or not to use it? Pretty sure it's optional. It would be weird to not put it in, but I'm pretty sure that's optional.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm guessing it's optional. I mean, Nintendo doesn't mandate a lot of stuff on their thing. I mean,
yeah,
you got 4:3 ratio 480i games on your Wii. I don't know if they mandate a lot.
Yeah, exactly. James asks, ever rebought a game that you traded in? Oh God, yes, absolutely. I used to trade in games a lot, and I really haven't traded in games in the last, I'd say, 4 or 5 years. But before then, like the last major time I did it was for like my Wii, and I needed new tires. It was like winter time, and I needed new tires on my car. But I had like this Wii pre-order that I really wanted to keep, and I'm glad I kept it, obviously, because they're a bitch to find for the following year or two. And the only way to do it was to trade in a fuck ton of GameCube and DS games. And I've rebought a lot of those, not all of them, but a lot of them, since then. But that was over the course of, like, 5 years or whatever. I mean, it really wasn't... It sucks, obviously, you know, essentially I bought a game twice, but it wasn't that big of a deal. But it does suck. It does suck. There are a lot of games I wish I didn't trade in. Because, like, I'm looking at, like, the first Survival Kids on the Game Boy Color. The series is called, like, Lost in Blue now on the DS. But the first Survival Kids, like, in the box goes for, like, $80 on eBay. I had that.
Wait, that was a series before the DS?
Yeah, it was called Survival Kids.
Wow, I did not know this.
And I was all over... I mean, I've always been into these quirky games, so, you know, the moment I heard about that, I had to get it. And I traded that in, and I really wish I didn't, but it's very expensive.
That sucks.
Yep. How about you? You don't trade in much, do you?
Honestly, like, the only game I could think of that I sold off and then I bought years later is oddly enough, it's Ken Griffey Jr. Baseball on N64.
I'm not going to blame you for that one.
I mean, it's really fun arcade baseball. And I missed it after a while. I was like, I had a really bad itch to replay the game, and I wanted to play it again. So
I don't own it, but a friend did. I thought it was pretty neat. I'm not generally a fan of sports games, but
I could do baseball games for some reason.
Baseball games, I think are the worst ones, unless it's super. Really? It has to be like super arcadey, because like I'll throw a ball out, and then like I'll hit a ball out, and like the computer always knows that ball's going. The computer knows, it doesn't have a problem. Like, Bloopy's already there. Like,
I guess.
Whereas a human being wouldn't have that kind of reaction time.
It probably helps that the Padres were probably one of the best teams in that version of the game. Because, like, Tony Gwynn, holy shit, you could hit anything with him. Like, each batter has their own little hit circle and size. Tony Gwynn's is, like, huge. You can't miss.
It's like hitting the broadside of a barn.
Yeah, exactly. So... I don't know. I loved it. I would just love, like, destroying the computer, actually. It was fun. But honestly, that's all I could think of. Yeah, I don't get rid of much of my games. Unless you want to, like, recount me selling off and rebuying all my...
Yeah, no, I don't think that counts. That was an intentional thing. I don't really trade in anymore. So, if I would, I would have traded in. I would have sold Duke Nukem forever. David asks, and following up James' question, are there any games you wanted to repurchase after trading but have, for whatever reason, been unable to? Yeah, costs, Survival Kids. There you go. I mean, that's... Yeah, sometimes it's cost and availability. Like, sometimes it's not a priority. But if, like, I come across it cheap or part of, like, a buy two, get one free sale at GameStop or whatever, I'm like, I had this. It seems fun. I'll get it now. I think it's really just a matter of priority or cost that really of why I haven't rebought anything that I've traded in and would like to repurchase.
Yeah, it sucks when there's a game you really want, it's just expensive as hell.
Yeah. Severi says, I finally got Shadows of the Damned today, and it's awesome. My question is about pre-orders. That's a weird... that's a weird okay.
Maybe he pre-ordered Shadow of the... Keep reading. Keep reading.
Yeah, he did. I think that's where it's going. I pre-ordered Vanquish, and it arrived a week after release. Next game I pre-ordered was Portal 2, but thanks to Steam, I was playing it on the Worldwide Launch Day at 8 a.m. Recently, I pre-ordered DMD, which is Shadows of the Damned's abbreviation. Only one online store I know of had it, not even the EA store, and unsurprisingly arrived almost a week after the European release date. Do you have this kind of problems with pre-orders in the U.S.? P.S. Just guess, did I get the pre-order bonus soundtrack? I'm guessing no. The way he's making it sound is that he's pre-ordering games and they still have to ship.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you, like here in the U.S., unless you specifically pay for like Amazon's like release date shipping, like you're not going to get it the day of release anyway. Unless you go to, like, a physical store. If he's talking about, like, he goes to a store and he still has to wait a week, that fucking sucks.
Yeah.
If you're buying it from an online retailer, which is the way he's making it sound, and you're waiting for it to ship, I mean, maybe it's different. I think Severi is, judging by his name, I would guess Finnish.
It's a Finnish name, yeah.
And, maybe it's a smaller country and their parcels move faster. But here in the U.S., I mean, I still think it's pretty quick. I think the Postal Service is pretty quick here in the U.S. But we're obviously a much bigger country, and, you know, you're going to expect to wait a few days. Even, you know, even for, like, a new release, that's just going to happen. So, a week? Probably not. 3 days, maybe? 3 or 4 days? Yeah, probably.
I always hate when I get stuff shipped from Amazon from the other side of the country. Because then I'm like, I'm going to have to wait 5 days.
Yeah. Like,
a lot of times they'll ship me stuff from right here in California or... even Nevada, and that will get here like in a day or two.
It does come pretty quickly. It does depend on where it ships from. Amazon does have a number of facilities across the country just for that reason, because we are a rather large country. I think size might have something to do with the differences here, but generally speaking, we don't wait as long as a week, I don't think. It depends on who you go through, I guess.
I'd say 5 days tops.
Yeah.
But generally around 3 days, I think, would be average. Unless you pay for release day shipping, in which case we do get it on release day.
Yeah.
Unless it's a Nintendo title, because those release on Sundays a lot. And we don't get mail on Sunday, so.
Yep. So, bit of a gray area in on that one. But he has a point. Like, that's a benefit to digital on Steam. You can download it before it's out, and then just on when it's launched, you just it unlocks, and then you're playing it that moment. So that is pretty cool.
I don't know why he didn't get the soundtrack. It's a download code.
Maybe it wasn't on his receipt. That's where mine is. Mine's on was printed on my GameStop receipt.
I got mine through Amazon. They just emailed it to me.
Oh, see, that's Amazon. They're awesome. Like GameStop prints it. I mean, yeah, maybe check your receipt or something like that. Or maybe it was physical. In Europe, sometimes they get physical stuff and we just get the codes.
I know they're releasing like a full physical CD. I mean, basically they're touting the soundtrack that came with it as a sampler or something.
Yeah, that's my understanding too.
But yeah, I follow Grasshopper on Twitter, and
yeah, me too.
They've been saying that they're releasing full CDs for this and Alice, I guess. I think they might already be up on iTunes.
They might be. I haven't looked. Do you follow Suda51 and Grasshopper? It's super redundant. There's no point to, because they tweet the same exact things.
I don't think I do, no.
Back
I think
to back, I just and I'm like, son of a bitch, can you stop this?
Grasshopper seems to retweet everything Suda sends out anyway, so.
Oh, okay. No, they say the same exact thing, so I get the same tweet twice. Because like, if you follow two people, and one of those people retweets the second person's thing, you don't see the retweet. Because there's no point. Twitter automatically filters that out.
Okay.
So, like, because I'm seeing it twice, someone's literally copy-pasting that into both accounts.
I might have to remove Grasshopper, though, dude. Like, they send out way too much stuff.
Oh, my God. But, yeah. So, I'm seeing, like, whatever you're seeing, I'm seeing twice.
Yeah, I'm interested in interested in the stuff, but a lot of times, well, they themselves will send out, like, the exact same thing, like, fucking five times.
Yeah, yeah. It sucks. It's like, chill out.
We'll buy your games. It's okay.
Sean? I don't know how to pronounce his name. Is Sean Chen? I don't know. If he's listening to this podcast, please let me know. I don't want to mispronounce people's names. If I mispronounce anyone's name, politely point it out next time I ask, hey, you know, my name is pronounced like Chris. I would rather be politely corrected than continue to be wrong, just as a heads up. But he asks, what do you think of Capcom's decision to not include a data reset option on Resident Evil The Mercenaries 3D? Capcom claims that it was because of a technical limitation and because it works with the arcade nature of the game. Do you think this was an unfair decision? I mean, we already talked at length about this, so I don't believe it was a technical limitation. I think it was just part of the development of the game, and they genuinely didn't think people would care about resetting their data. Oh, silly Capcom.
Silly, silly, silly.
I don't think it matters with this kind of game, but at the same... It's weird, because I see both sides. I don't think it matters with this game. I truly don't. But at the same time, do I think it's a fair decision?
But people should have the option, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Andrew Jackson says, what are your thoughts on MAG? I've never played it.
Nope.
What are your thoughts on Left 4 Dead? I think it's really cool.
That was a little repetitive. I can't play games.
It's
like
an arcade-style shooter.
No, so. I understand people who like games like that. I can't. I feel like, I don't know. I feel like I want some sort of progression, and I just feel like I'm.
Wow, that's weird. I thought of all people, like you would appreciate that kind of repetitive arcade nature.
You know, I guess it just depends. Like,
yeah,
because obviously PSO, dude, I like that. You're just doing the same thing over and over.
Dude, don't get me wrong. Like I can say that. You know, when I profess an opinion, like, that opinion's probably true, like, 90% of the time. The other 10%, I mean, I think that goes for everyone. Like, you might prefer one thing, but there's going to be exceptions to that. So,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, so for the most part.
Yeah. People try to trip me up with that. Oh, I thought you said you don't like this. I'm like, dude, it's not ironclad. Like, I'm a human being. Like, it's not, like, I'm not putting my foot down on everything.
Yeah.
Do you think the Neo Geo Pocket Color is worth $50 for a limited edition model complete? Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. It's a good system.
It is. It's a great system. And $50 complete, that's, yeah. I paid $30 for mine, but mine was a standard unit. And did I pay $30? What did I pay for mine? I forget. No, maybe it wasn't that low. Mine did not come complete, but it did come with an AC adapter, which I don't think it needs, because it just, man, it just coasts on that, on how many batteries does it take? One, two, something like that? It coasts on that for a long time.
It takes two. And then you need one for saving data. A little...
Yeah, it takes
another CR2032.
And mine came with an AC adapter and a bunch of box games. And I think it might have been more than 30. But, yeah, I think...
I can't remember how much I paid for mine. It was probably around there.
Finally, Freya asks, which podcast do you listen to, video game related or otherwise? I sadly do not have that much time to listen to very many. I listen to Nintendo World because it's a good podcast. Usually, I mean, the two podcasts I listen to are Nintendo World and Oncast, and they're both video game related, and they're both enjoyable podcasts. But also because friends work on those podcasts, so that's the only reason why I make those a priority. They're enjoyable. Don't get me wrong. Oh yeah, they suck, but because friends are on them. No, they're enjoyable podcasts, but I make them a priority because my friends are on those. So, Negative World and Oncast, which I think they changed their name to Pause That or something like that. So, you can find those both on iTunes, but those are what I listen to. I don't have time. It's really hard to, like, create your own content and then try and take in all this other content. It's just, there's no time for it. What about you, Seth? No. Do you listen to any?
No, back in the day, I used to listen to IGN Nintendo's, but this was a while ago.
Yeah, voice chat, I used to, too. Like, I don't even know anybody on it anymore, and I don't care.
Yeah, so I used to listen to that, but...
Without Craig Harris, Matt Caspasina, and Bozon?
Yep.
No point.
Yeah, they're all gone, so... I liked them. They were... I don't know.
Yeah, it's so funny. I remember one time on the message boards on IGN, like, we got on something to Bozon. I can't stand his review. I thought he was a terrible writer. But he was a really charismatic, fun guy.
Yeah, I don't think his... I don't think he wrote that well.
I can imagine him, turning in, his reviews, etched in crayon. That's exactly... That's how I pictured it. He had a box of Crayola. He's like, I think this game's fun. But on the podcast, he was an awesome person to listen to.
He's just super nice and enjoyable and fun, you know?
Yep. I miss those guys. I don't even get... There's no point in going to IGN anymore without them.
No. Now I'll just occasionally listen to one here or there that somebody recommends if it's on a topic I'm interested in.
Yeah, yeah. Sadly, I don't have time.
Mm-hmm.
But that wraps up questions, and I'm going to check once more to see if Steph is on, because Skype doesn't really tell me if someone is online or offline because it sucks. See if we can add her just for this last segment here when we talk about games we've been playing. I guess I'll start off while we wait for her. I played a ton of Resident Evil, The Mercenaries 3D, and at first I was really undecided.
That game sucks. Do you know that you can't even erase your data?
Let's go vote bomb it on Amazon. I was really undecided. I mean, I had an inkling that I would like it, otherwise I wouldn't have bought it. But I was really undecided at first, especially with the controls. Resident Evil controls are just... They're Resident Evil controls. That's all you really need to say. As I got into the game, as I got playing it, I really enjoy it. I actually really enjoy its arcade style nature. I'm going back to earlier levels to get better scores, playing it with different characters, experimenting with different weapon sets, or skill sets, really. I really like it. I'm playing a lot of it. And I like how quick it is. You can play a mission in just a matter of a few minutes. And honestly, I kind of wish that it was sort of horde mode, it was just wave after wave of enemies until I died, instead of these time things. But
I'm surprised they don't have a horde mode in there.
They might. I haven't run through the entire game yet, so there might be a horde mission. Maybe some of the later missions are horde based. But
if they don't, that's a missed opportunity.
I think so too. But the time ones are still kind of nice because it's very conducive to handheld gaming. You play for a few minutes, play a couple missions, and then you're done. You go back to doing whatever it is you were doing before, whatever you need to do or whatever. So I really enjoy the game. I like it a lot. The save data issue is unfortunate. I think it's very stupid and short-sighted for Capcom, but I don't think it really impacts the game that much. Like you said, hopefully lesson learned. I hope this is a message to other developers. Don't do this. Mm-hmm. People don't like that.
Have you played online at all?
Not yet. I was hoping you would pick it up.
I'm finding myself short on money.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
I know how that goes. I'm playing a lot of that. A lot of Ocarina of Time, which is... Man, it's still so damn good. A lot of it, though, I'm seeing through, the eyes of, Dana, who's playing it for the first time, and that game really, I don't know, I don't really remember having too many problems with it, but it really doesn't do much to steer you in the right direction. I know it tries.
It has Navi bitching at you all the time.
Right, but I mean, I think just sometimes things are they're not as clear as they seem to be. And for me, I can't see it because I know exactly what to do all the time.
I was reading, I can't remember where I read this, actually, but somebody was like, how am I supposed to know that you're supposed to feed a fish to Lord Jabu Jabu to get in his belly?
It's a game where you really have to talk to everybody.
Yeah, one of the Zoras tells you this if you choose, one of the options, and it's one of the dudes who you can't even see just pops up in the water as you're swimming around in the water.
And I mean, that's the thing, that's what I mean by it's not necessarily clear. It's not impossible, it's just not always clear. You really have to, search everywhere, talk to everyone, and remember bullshit they say.
Mm-hmm.
So, but still, I mean, otherwise, it's still a really great game.
Back in those days, I just had all the time in the world, though, so I was doing all this anyway.
Yeah.
You just don't see it, I think.
Yeah. No, that's true. But it's actually interesting watching her play the 3DS. She's actually more. She's way more driven by the social aspect of it than I thought. It's really a shame Nintendo didn't talk that stuff up, because she's really into getting new Pokemon on the Pokedex and doing like Street Pass and stuff. She, like, she really that's the stuff she's really into. And she's also playing Shantae. She likes Shantae.
But, nice. How's she handling the 3D movement through a 3D world?
She's actually getting a lot better at it. She's you can tell, like, you know we're talking about spatial skills, I think, on the last episode. Mm-hmm. Where, like, us, it's no big deal to run in a direction that the camera's not facing because we know what's over there and we understand that within the game world. And she's actually, I was actually watching her, and she's doing more of that. So her spatial understanding of 3D games is getting better.
I'm sorry, but your quality is, like, all of a sudden got really bad for me.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't think that'll be affected in the recording.
No, you got first-hand recording there. Microphone just picks you straight up.
Right, right. Oh, sorry.
That's all right.
I downloaded a bunch of DSiWare games, and I'm feeling, like, more and more that, like, DSiWare is, like, this breeding ground for really high concept games that are really super unpolished. That are, like, they have really interesting ideas, but the gameplay just doesn't flesh out. And I don't think it balances out. I think it does need the gameplay, but I think it's still interesting to play these games. Like, I was playing this one. I need to play more of it. I even forget what it was called, like, Lost Town, The Dust or something like that. I think it was called. It just came out. And it's, like, this weird, like, survival game where, like, it's this overhead view, and you drag your character around with this cursor, and your camp is being invaded by zombies, and you need to, during the day, like, build up supplies and, fortify defenses, because when the night comes, the zombies are more aggressive, and you need to take them out, and you need to be prepared for it. And the game doesn't really explain much. It's very cumbersome to try and, like, figure everything out, and... But it's a really neat concept. I think it requires way too much more time to get into than I think people are willing to give it. And it's just games like that where, like, really cool concepts, but it must have been a team of, like, two people trying to put it together. And God bless them. God bless them for trying, but it doesn't always come together. And I was playing this other one, a Kappa's Trail. Brownie Brown developed this, and Nintendo published it. No one knows it fucking exists.
What's it called? All of a sudden you cleared up super good.
Okay. A Kappa's Trail.
A Kappa's?
Yeah, the Kappa, those
mythical like a turtle creatures. Demon.
Yes. And you play as this little, cute little Kappa who wants to live on land. And so you have, like, these levels that are these sort of, like, mazes of, like, pitfalls and stuff. And you draw on the screen where you want him to go, following, like, trails of, like, coins and things like this. But there are enemies, and eventually, at some point in the level, like, this demon hand will come up out of the water to drag you back. It's creepy. It's like, this hand comes up, and he follows your trail that you've already left. So, like, you don't want to, like, cross paths and stuff, but you still want to, like, collect coins and junk. And it's an interesting little game, and you open up all these mini games as you progress. You can spend money on, like, items and stuff. It's a neat little $5 game. And that's another issue with the DSiWare that no one advertises it. No, you don't know games exist on it. Like, this is a Nintendo-published game from Brownie Brown, and no one has said boo peep about it.
Yeah, they need some sort of outlet. Like, Nintendo Power has their little DS, or their downloadable section.
I love that section. I love that section.
Yeah, it's good for recommendations and such, but not everybody has Nintendo Power, so... Pretty much catering to people who already follow Nintendo a good deal.
Right, exactly. So, you know, it's unfortunate with DSiWare. There's a lot of great, there's a lot of good games, but no one advertises anything. You don't know that they're there. I think the 3DS eShop is a little bit better. Unfortunately, it makes it harder to traditionally search games. Like, oh, I just want to search games, like, that start with B. Forget it. But they have, like, these new, like, things where, like, oh, great multiplayer games or great action games, and, you know, that showcases, I think what Nintendo's trying to do is try to brush under the carpet all the shitty games on DSiWare and just showcase that's really what I think they're doing. And so, like, they create these categories for you to look at to showcase, like, these more popular games or these better games. And I think for the general consumer that's a lot better, but the search feature isn't as good as I would like. Yeah, Kappa's Trail is pretty good. I'm trying to think. I've downloaded Tetris Party, whatever, fuck. It's a nice little $5 version of Tetris. It's Tetris, and it's good to have it on the 3DS, I think. And this other one is called Air Race, the Tunnel, or Air Race Tunnel. Maybe there's no better. I don't know. So Air Race is this mashup. There's only one R in it. It's A-I-R-A-S-E. And the full Air Race, the one that's called Air Race, is actually like, I guess, like Mario Kart with planes. It's like Diddy Kong Racing, the flying levels. So you have like weapons and stuff. But Air Race Tunnel is more like a single player like puzzle game where like you're basically, you have all these different levels that are composed of like tunnels, but like then there's like obstacles in the tunnels that you need to fly through. So it's a very simple like arcade style game. It's only $2. The Air Race Tunnel version is only $2 because it's a very simple game. And that's kind of neat. I'm not like overly enthusiastic about it, but it's a neat little $2 game. But that is about it. That's about what I'm playing.
Honestly, I think I'm like kind of afraid to buy stuff on DSiWare.
Why is that?
I don't know if I'll like the games or not. I don't know. I don't like want to put the money in and be like,
Well, they're getting better. There are videos now on the eShop.
Are there?
Yeah, a lot of games have videos attached now. Not all, but a lot. They have a few screenshots that you can zoom in on. So the shop is a bit better for you to like get a better feel of the game. Because like I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly, Kappa's Trail did have a video. I'm pretty sure Ares Tunnel had a video.
All right, well, it's definitely better.
Yeah, it is definitely better. But like I said, like really what kills me is like the game can sound and look great, but for some reason the execution is off. And I think that's a problem with DSiWare. Like you have these high concept games that just... the gameplay doesn't quite live up to that concept.
There's got to be an outlet somewhere on the internet that just like specializes in covering these games, right?
Nah, because I think the consensus is DSiWare sucks. Even though like that doesn't
help anybody.
No, it doesn't. Yeah, just saying it sucks doesn't help anybody. But you're right. But I think that's the general consensus. I think it's actually a very interesting story. It's very weird. I don't know how to describe it because like there are some really good games. Nobody knows about them. And then there's these weird, like, high-concept games that, you know, sometimes they're worth playing simply because of their concept, and then you just have the trash. And it's like, what a weird little store. What a weird, odd little store this is. But that's about it for me. What have you been playing?
Somebody needs to make me a list of all the really good DSiWare games, so that, and I could just, like, drop $30 in there and buy a bunch of them. What have I been playing? Has a week passed already? I don't know. I've just been playing way too much fucking Champions Return to Arms. That's what I've been playing. My friend is obsessed with this game, and he keeps making me go over to his house to play it. So, I put numerous hours into this game now. And it's all right. I still don't think it's great. He loves it, though. So, I was actually able to play four players last night. Because my nephew was there and another friend was there, and that game is confusing as shit for players. You cannot tell what's going on the screen. So basically, I'm just running around healing everybody because I'm a healing chick, and I don't know what's going on. I'm just slash up everything. It's still fun though. I don't know. It's fun to get together like that and just play a game. So
cool.
It's all right. I went to Dave and Buster's the other night for my friend's birthday, so I got to play a bunch of arcade games. I found a Street Fighter at Dave and Buster's.
Wow.
It was hidden.
Was it Street Fighter Light Gun Edition?
Maybe. No, it's hidden in an arcade cabinet that's basically a Capcom Classics collection in arcade form. It's just a Capcom cabinet that has a bunch of games on it. It has like Legendary Wings. It has the Mega Man fighter on there. And it's like four versions of Street Fighter 2 on there.
Wow.
Yeah, and has Ghosts and Goblins. It has a bunch of...
I would have wheeled it out.
Huh?
I said I would have wheeled it out.
I was thinking about it. I mean, I'm sure it's not making them any money because it's not a light gun game, right? So
yeah,
they'll probably want to get rid of it soon. But no, so I played a bunch of Street Fighter on there. I tore up everybody who challenged me, which was only two people who I knew.
Ladies and gentlemen, our very own Seth Castellum.
Yes, thank you. Then some other dude came up after I was done playing. He's like, "You done playing?" I was like, "Oh, this guy could probably beat me." I was like, "Yeah, I'm done."
He has very impressive thumbs. I'm out of here.
I beat
the pirates. What is that? Dreadship Pirates?
Yes. Deadwater Pirates? I forget what it's called.
Dead something Pirates fight. I actually beat that.
I love that game, but I have no idea what it's called. Yeah. What'd you think of it?
It's the first time I was playing it mostly single player, and it's a lot easier single player. And when you play two player, you have to do team shots.
Yep.
You have to like shoot at the exact same thing to kill a lot of things. And that's really damn hard, especially when your friend is really drunk.
I'm trying.
I was like, come on, dude. And that game's a lot easier one player. If you don't want to spend a lot of money and you want to beat it, definitely play one player. If you want to play with somebody else, make sure you work really well together. And it has like a little. There was another game that made it more obvious. There's a game right next to it, and basically the exact same thing. This one was called like Jungle Adventure Cruise or something. I don't know. We also played that one a little. And
Jungle Adventure Cruise.
Yeah, something like that. Jungle something. The reason we played it too was because like on the demo that's playing through. Like, one of the segments showed people whacking frogs with paddles. So I was like, yes, I want to play the frog-whacking paddle game. But through most of the game, you have a gun, but you lose your gun during one segment in one of the levels. And that game's all right, too. But I think that game's, like, made specifically for couples or something, because it has your, like, love compatibility after you beat a level or something.
After you slaughter frogs, you're like...
Yeah, I was like, hey, dude, we're pretty compatible here, huh? that one's all right, but as soon as the Pirates game cleared up, we hopped right in there because we were just waiting for that one to clear through. What else did I play? I also played L.A. Machine Guns. Have you played L.A. Machine Guns?
I don't think so.
The game it has like a you're like in a helicopter, so it has like a big ass mounted machine gun that you hold on to, and you just fire rapidly. There might be a cooldown period, but you're just holding down triggers and blowing shit up. But the entire time, like, the entire gun is rumbling. So your hands are just, like, rumbling away because there's a big-ass rumble thing in the gun. But that game's pretty fun, too.
Cool.
And I think that's it. I think I just played a bunch of fucking light gun games at Dave & Buster's and LARPed away in Champions.
Well, I guess that's about it. Shame that we lost Steph. That's unfortunate, but that's...
Who?
Who? What? I'm sure those thunderstorms are making their way up the coast to me right now. Sadly, I don't want to...
Is it hot there? It's been hot as hell over here.
It's been really humid. I mean, it's been warm. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, in the 80s, like mid-80s. But it's like mid-80s, like 100% humidity, and it's like bullshit. So...
Yeah. It's actually surprising me here, though, because we usually get a late summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not really used to this kind of heat till, like, August.
That sucks.
Yeah, so it's killing me now.
Nah, the heat hasn't been... We haven't had too many killer days, but it's been pretty warm and definitely very humid, so...
No, of course, anything I say, like, I'm very comfortable in the 70s. It goes above or below that, and I'm complaining. So... This may be, like, great weather for you, actually.
Could be. But I guess we can wrap this up, unless you have anything like that.
That's it for me.
That's it. Well, thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you enjoyed my insane ramblings on Mercenaries 3D. Verbose, as always, that's me. But until next time, you guys, take it easy.
Bye.